Welcome to a very special edition of the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, and on this 30-minute edition of the Matthew Aaron Show, and is a special edition because I tried to arrange an interview also with Jim O'Hare, but my schedule prevented me from doing so. And we're going to have that for you hopefully soon with me and Jim. But today is, I didn't want to wait any longer to put out my interview with Max Winkler because Flower is in theaters now and it's on demand. And you need to see this film, Flower, with Zoe Deutsch and Catherine Hans in it, and Adam Scott and Max Winkler directed it. And it's a film everyone has to see. It's you know, one of the best of its kind since maybe 13, Mean Creek. It's at AMC River East. It's at Landmark Century Cinema. It's at Century 12 Evanston. Those three theaters downtown in Chicago right now. Max Winkler, hell of a guy, hell of an interview. You're going to find this to be super fascinating. And by the way, Max, of course, did Ceremony, and he wrote and directed, and his co-writer, Matt, they did Ingrid Goes West, which I thought was one of the best films of last year. Really good movie, Flower. So here's what I suggest you do next. We're going to talk about this here. One, let me introduce the show. Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron on this special edition of the Matthew Aaron Show. We're located at www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You go to Facebook, you got that little bar that says search at the top, type in the Matthew Aaron Show. You can click like on that son of a bitch, and you will be following the Matthew Aaron Show. You'll get all our updates, all our show updates, and so forth. Also, you can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, which you may be listening to us if you're listening to us live. We're everywhere. We're everywhere you want to be. And today, like I said, I have Max Winkler. Before we get to Max Winkler, I just want to say we're putting together this new film, and man, it's so exciting putting together movies. I love working. You know, there's this lull period, and the last one was a year and a half, and I hadn't gone through this since we started making projects 5-6 years ago. And there's this lull period between movies where it's like, what are you going to do, or getting the next one made. And we had this period where, well, for the last year and a half, all I was doing was writing and taking meetings, and it was the worst. And you never want to go through it, but you have to. It's the worst part of the business, which is what do you do between the movies and how do you get the next one made? And I'm feeling very, knock on wood, very confident that we found the way to get the next one made and who to get the next one made with. And we've been casting it, and that's usually a very good sign that you're going to make the friggin' movie, that you're actually casting it. And man, this cast that Pat and I are putting together, Pat Tobias, who produces this show. Put it this way. Pat and I didn't think we'd get these people ever. So, and that we've been getting them and getting them, they've been really responding to the script, which anytime someone loves the script, I'm like, okay, it needs work. I need to work on it. So I'm going to go through it probably again today and you know, paranoia myself into thinking it needs more work. It always needs work, right? But anyways, I just forgot how exciting all this is, and I'm back in, like, movie-making mode, and I'm happy, and I'm not so stressed. And you would think this is the most stressful part, making the movie, but, like, this is the fun part, man. This is the vision coming to life, and it's the beginning stages. But man, it's exciting. And please, if you have an opportunity on Amazon Prime, on VOD of all sorts, Landline is still playing. We're working on doing some foreign distribution, hopefully for it as well. And we're looking at possibly getting on Netflix as well. So we're looking into all that stuff. I'll keep you updated on all that. Just a pretty exciting time right now. I'm very happy with how things are going. And I don't know. This is just like... I just got news about one person we cast today. I can't say anything yet, but it's just, oh, boy. I don't know. Okay. Let's get into a movie that's already been casted, already been made, already been awesome. Flower. And you know it's awesome. And you know it's a movie that needs attention because it's getting that kind of criticism on the internet where it's 4 stars in some corners and not 4 stars in others, and you go, oh man, this is one of those movies. It's dividing people. And those are the best movies. The best movies are the ones where someone says, I love this, and someone says, I absolutely hated it. It's all those movies in the middle that I don't trust. Like, every Marvel movie for me is somewhat in the middle, minus, like, Black Panther, which I thought was great, and Winter Soldier with Redford, which I thought was great. But for the most part, they're all, like, in the middle. And I don't trust movies like that. I want to hear your opinions. I want to see your vision. I want you to make choices. I don't want you to skirt the fence. I want to see you take a side. And, yeah, so I love this movie. And I think everyone should check out Flower, which is in theaters now. here is my interview with Max Winkler. It's I got to tell you a couple things before we do this. One, if you're a independent filmmaker, if you're a filmmaker in general, this is an interview you should definitely listen to. Max made this film with $500,000. And that's the reported number. I'd hate to know what the real number is. It's probably even less. Because I know how this business is. Oh, God. Great cast, and still you can only get $500,000 to make a good movie. God, man. Anyways, this is one of those interviews where if you're an up-and-coming filmmaker, you should listen, tune in. You could take stuff away from this. I know I took a lot away from talking to Max. You're going to hear a lot of his opinions on, you know, how to make a movie of this size, and also what he thinks of points versus salary for all you out there that are being told, take the points. So give this a listen. I think you're really going to enjoy it, and thank you for tuning into the Matthew Aaron Show today from here. first of all, Max, I wanted to tell you a couple things. One, your new film, Flower, which is fantastic. I thought it was fantastic.
Thanks.
And by the way,
I appreciate that.
There's a performance by Catherine Hahn in this movie that I think people should be paying more than whatever it costs to see this movie to see. Like, she's
a goddess.
Oh my
she's
God,
the best
right?
We have. She's literally, I believed her to be the best actor working. Now that Daniel Day-Lewis is retired, I, in my heart of hearts, believe that Catherine Hahn, if you go from performance to performance, like, there's never a role. It's almost like Philip Seymour Hoffman,
yeah,
like what he used to do. Like,
yes,
there's never a performance that is too small or too big, or a role that's too small or too big. And she creates a life with that character that you know will live on way after the movie ends and lived before it began.
Yes.
And I'm so happy to hear you say that, because she is my favorite of all time.
Her first scene in the movie, this is how good she is for people listening. That you got to see Flower. For people listening, this is how good she is. Her first scene in the film, I know her whole backstory just watching her act.
Exactly.
Just watching her act.
That first exhale she takes.
Yeah.
I know. And,
yeah,
and we filmed that the first day she came to set. We didn't get to rehearse. All we did was get to talk about the movies that inspired this movie, which were our favorite movies. This Andrew Arnold movie, Fish Tank, that was really inspirational to me, and this Lynn Ramsey movie, Rat Catcher. And we both agreed on that. And then we really didn't get to talk so much because she works so much and she's so busy. And that first scene we filmed, that was the first day her and Zoe met.
Yeah.
And
wow.
I know. And it just, it's a testament to both of them as actors that that intimacy was immediately, that tactile lack of boundaries, complicated mother-daughter, more like sisterly relationship was fully formed.
The way she kisses Zoe in that first scene, I'm like, holy shit, I know the backstory to these two characters just from that. Just from when they're lying in bed and she's just so overprotectively kissing her over and over and over again. And you could tell that they've been through a lot together. You can tell that it's more of a friendship than even a mother-daughter bond sometimes.
Yeah,
like there were so many things you got just from that one scene, man. So, first of all, I wanted to congratulate you. It's a really good movie, man. Really, really good.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And then the second thing I want to tell you is, from a personal aspect, I did not, in 2011, Jacob Aranestis and I sold a pilot somewhere. And Jacob Aranestis.
I love Jacob Aranestis.
Yeah, yeah, he's one of my good friends. And we wrote this thing and we sold it and we're going to make it. And I remember he says to me one day, we're sitting outside Silver Lake and we're having a sandwich. And he looks at me and he goes, "What do you think of Max Winkler?" And I go, "Who?" And, like, I had no idea. I had no idea. So, I go home.
I took him out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I go home and watch Ceremony. And I'm like, because he wanted you to direct the pilot. I go, this guy's great. So I want to tell you, that was my introduction to you.
Mean Creek is one of my favorite movies
great
ever.
Movie.
It was actually influential on this, even though I never said that before, but I'm realizing how Mean Creek, the naturalness of the performances in Mean Creek, and just that movie is one of the best movies made about kids.
Yes. Agreed.
And it destroys me. And ironically, this is even crazier. You're from Chicago, right?
Yes, I am. I'm from Chicago, yeah.
Okay, so this is an interesting connection. So the kid in Mean Creek, the older brother in Mean Creek who makes the phone call and invites the bully, that's a guy named, an actor, a really talented actor named Trevor Morgan.
Trevor Morgan.
His kid named Joey Morgan.
Yeah.
And his first cousin is Joey Morgan.
And that's the kid,
in the movies.
He's the half-brother.
Yeah, who has deep Chicago roots.
Oh, my God. He's great, by the way.
And he was working in Chicago when we found him. And he is just a tremendous talent. But it's important to have – we have two Chicago contingents in the movie. We have Joey Morgan, and we have a very specific cameo by Jake Johnson, who's my opt-in collaborator.
Yes, I noticed you and Jake are very often working together, and yeah, that's a good team. But yeah, Joey's great in this. Joey Morgan, he plays Luke, who's this half-brother to Zoe's character, Erica. And he's kind of your heart and soul of the movie, even though Zoe's your lead.
Totally.
But Zoe's kind of like a little detached and a bit of an anti-hero. And, you question some of her actions and stuff. And Luke is the guy that you're kind of like the audience. You're the eyes. He's your eyes. And he's your moral compass, more or less. And which is funny, which what happens in the third act of the film, which I won't spoil. But Luke is your guy. And he's fantastic in this movie, Joey Morgan. Really good.
Watching him open up throughout the movie continues to make me happy. Like, just his physicality changing and his face, and just, like, losing a little bit of that burden that character carries around. I love the difference of where he ends from where he starts.
And I wanted to tell people, by the way, New York, L.A. on March 16th, but then we're nationwide March 23rd with this. If you like movies like one of the great teen movies like Mean Creek you mentioned, but another great teen movie like 13, if those kind of movies really did it for you, this movie is a home run for you. It's one of the best teen movies I've seen in a long time. Long time, really.
Thanks, dude. I really appreciate that.
My producer called me, and he watched it, and he goes, "You gotta see this." And I watched it, was like, I called him like 20 minutes ago, and I go, "Pat, this movie's fucking good." It's good. Yeah. I mean, so
Thanks, we
dug it,
I
man.
I really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I'm just happy it's getting made. Movies like this nowadays, they're harder to get made. So tell me how you went about getting this made.
I mean, we withstood, a cavalcade of the word no from just about everybody in the, inside and outside of Hollywood who finances movies, because no one wanted to make a movie about a female character like this.
Yeah.
Which was, again, we made it about a year and a half ago, so it was a different landscape. And I think now, hopefully, the doors have opened a little bit more for characters like this who kind of take the law and control into their own hands, even if they don't go about it necessarily in the best way possible.
Right.
And all it takes is one person. This one company said, we get it, and we can only give you this amount of money, but you can make it how you want. And we shot this movie for $500,000 in 15 and a half days. And it's not, it's hard to make any movie. To make any movie remotely good is a miracle, but to shoot under those conditions was obviously this side of psychotic. But because we had such a talented cast and such an incredibly talented crew, we got through it, and a lot of people did it for little to no money.
I was going to say, obviously, you're taking points.
I feel really grateful for all of them.
Yeah, obviously, I'm assuming then you're taking points, they're taking scale. The word passion project gets thrown around 5,000 times.
Yeah.
So how did you get all these actors to do this for come on and we'll do the points thing, which sometimes works, sometimes doesn't?
No, I don't know. I don't know if the points thing has ever worked.
Yeah, right.
With the exception of maybe My Big Fat Greek Wedding and Little Miss Sunshine.
And even My Big Fat Greek Wedding, I heard a story where they had to go on The Tonight Show and say Universal didn't pay them or something in order to get their money.
Yeah, I've never heard the point system work, which
That's
is a
good.
Testament. And everyone knows that. So it's a testament to everyone doing the movie because they liked it.
Yeah.
And I read the first draft of the script, but it was written by this person, Alex McCauley, and that character was fully formed. And I grew up watching, movies in the 80s, on VHS.
Yeah.
I used to steal from my brother. And, those were movies like Risky Business and John Hughes movies and Ferris Bueller and, Loverboy with fucking Patrick Dempsey.
Oh, man.
Loverboy. Just weird, and those Corey movies and
yeah.
stuff like that. And with the majority of those movies, with the exception of John Hughes, it's always male leads driving the story and doing
yeah.
everything. And, at the end, if they do everything right, they end up with a girl at the end. So what I like so much about this is turn that on its head.
It does.
It really is. It's her, what I mean? It's all her. To me, she's like, one part Travis Bickle, one part Jim Stark from Rebel Without a Cause. And I don't know. I hadn't read a script like that before. And, we worked on the script for a while and we all collaborated. And, it's produced by, my favorite, some of my favorite creators, the Rough House guys, Danny McBride, Jody
yeah.
Bell, David Gordon Green, and their producing partner, Brandon James. Like, those guys make, the most fearless content there is, and they really, at the heart of all of it, there's always emotion and characters really going through something. So I kind of took a note from them and I tried to be as fearless as possible with all of it.
I think you were. And by the way, David Gordon Green, one of the best directors ever. I love
ever.
Him.
His movies inspired me as much as Mean Creek.
Yeah, he gave me advice on my first movie and he's just I'll never forget that. And he's just a really good dude. And a workaholic.
He's amazing.
Workaholic, and he takes
amazing.
A lot of risks.
Yeah.
A lot of risks. What made you
He's
guys
amazing.
Cast Zoe? How did this? I'm assuming she was the first piece to your puzzle, right?
She wasn't actually.
Oh.
We've cast the adults, and I couldn't find the girl. And we read hundreds of people. We had this amazing casting director who had done another great movie about teens. Not so different than Mean Creek, called Short Term 12.
I love Short Term 12. That's where Lakeith
exactly.
Stanfield was
same
found.
Family,
yeah,
because it all sort of the opposite side of like high
yeah.
school's the best. And
yes,
definitely. And we had read a bunch of people, the unbelievable actors, and I couldn't hear it right. It felt weird, and the dialogue felt forced. And I didn't think it was any of the actors' fault because I'm fans of all of theirs, but I thought it was a problem in the writing and I was really hard on myself and I didn't really feel like we had a movie. and Zoe sent in a self-tape
from
her hotel room in Chicago, and she was, like, eating these potato chips, and she read it, and she was as good in that as she is in the movie. It was completely a fully formed identity of that character. All of that bravado, you know, masking intense feelings of anxiety and abandonment and alienation. And I saw it, and I knew we had a movie immediately, and we used that to, you know, officially sort of kick in gear, because I then really understood that we had a movie. But until I saw Zoe read the words, I was completely hesitant that it would work.
Yeah, I just that's so great that you brought that up, because when you bring up that casting director, I just think of Keith Stanfield, of course, right away, who I met when Short Term 12 came out, and I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. You are good at finding talent. Because Keith Stanfield is one of the best.
And he found me Joey, the kid from Chicago. He found me Dylan Dalula, who's been in Kimmy Schmidt and other stuff, but is another fully brilliant sort of comedic feminist genius. And he found me Maya Echette, who I'd never seen anything, who plays Claudine with the curly hair.
Wow.
And, you know, I was really specific with him. I was just like, if they have a line or they're on camera, I don't want the movie or remind people that we're watching a movie. I want it to almost feel like a documentary. If we could try to shoot for that, and he is incredible.
So I'm
for no money.
That was your that leads me to my next question. When you and your DP get together, your director of photography, and you're going over the look of this movie, you decided on a more documentary-esque style for this movie. I was going to ask you about that. Definitely you went as far away from that John Hughes studio feel as possible. What was behind that choice?
Yeah. I wanted it to feel very feminine, and so I hired Carolina Costa, who had shot some of my favorite stuff out of the last year. She's the youngest person to ever win an Ariel Award in Mexico. She's like a full, like, she will be the next Lebesgue, and you know, she will be nominated for Academy Award and hopefully win. She's one of the most talented people I've ever met. And I just told her, I was like, this needs to only be about Erica and her face and her energy. And it needs to feel intimate. And the second I come to set and I'm like yipped up on coffee, like, and start talking about Magnolia or There Will Be Blood or Boogie Nights, just cut me off and switch me to LaCroix, because I did not want to get carried away. Because when you get on set and you start looking at things, I never wanted to deviate from our plan. So what I really did was surround myself with as many talented and powerful women as possible to really hold me accountable, that anytime the male gaze would kind of creep in or start to, you know, rear its ugly head, I would have them all, whether it was Zoe or Dylan or Trisha, our production designer, or Sarah Beth, our editor, or Caroline, our on-set writer and producer, or Carolina, Michelle, our costume designer, they all would be like, no, that's what a guy would say. That's a guy writing thriller. That's a guy choosing a girl's wardrobe. And, the smartest thing I could do was just listen.
That's great. What camera did you and Carolina decide to use?
We just shot on the Mini Arri.
Oh, wow. Okay,
really,
yeah.
It was really helpful because the entire movie was handheld with the exception of one scene.
Yeah, that's great. We shot our last movie on the Mini Arri. It's a good camera.
Yeah, it was
good,
great. And
good
it was
camera.
You know, it was a little, we shot it in the dead of summer in the valley and Lancaster, so it was like 110 degrees. So
ooh.
Shoddy, our camera operator, was holding this camera the whole time, and it was.
So,
I mean, he's shot movies in Syria and Lebanon and stuff, and he was like, "This is about as hot as it gets."
Oh my God! So what's your crew size look like on a $500,000 feature like this?
Not big, dude.
Yeah,
not big. I mean, a lot. I mean, you know, probably our biggest department was the set deck.
Yeah, art and set deck.
You know, we had an amazing, women who were running our, we had amazing women and one Hungarian guy named Jonat, which is still one of my favorite names of all time, that ran the production design, you know, field of it. And they were our biggest sort of arm. But, I mean, really, it was small. But everyone wanted to make the same movie. That was the best part. And obviously, as you know, when you make these things, like, the only thing, there's no there's nothing you can't solve a problem about when you're making a movie, I don't think, unless someone's trying to make a different movie, because then you're fucked. And everyone wanted to make the same movie. There was kind of no ego on set. Like, everyone would talk through everything, and it's really collaborative. And I was lucky to get to work with all the people that I did.
And how many days did you guys shoot this in?
15 and a half.
Wow. Dude. For this movie to be as good as...
nine pages. I mean, it's insane.
It's insane that this movie's as good as it is at 50. I mean, this is a great flick. 15 and a half days, $500,000. I mean, holy cow, dude. This is a home run. I'm blown away.
Thanks, dude.
That's why I'm asking all these technical questions, because I'm like, are you kidding me? Each one's just kind of like...
No, I'd love to answer them.
Wow.
All that stuff. yeah.
By the way, our birthday and our year, our birth date and our year is like 3 days apart, I'm told. You're August 18th in 83. I'm August 15th. I am the 15th, yes.
Is that Sean Penn's too?
I think it is, yeah. And Ben Affleck's, I believe. Yeah. I'm up there with
that's
the best. Good. Yeah, I'm never going to be the top of today's birthdays list. Yeah, you and I are never going to be on Good Morning America's in today's birthday list until some people die. We need some people to die off.
I got to, yeah.
And then it'll be Max Winkler's birthday. Dude, I got to tell you, this movie, once again, flower for everyone listening. You got to see this film. I was just blown away. Highly, highly recommended. March 16th in New York and L.A. Nationwide on the 23rd. That's through Orchard. Orchard puts out some really good movies.
Yeah, they're great.
Dude, thank you so much for sitting down and talking shop with me and stuff.
It.
And I love it. And
thank you, dude. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I hope we get to do it again.
Send my love to Jacob Aronestis.
I will. I'll text him right now. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Max. Best of luck, buddy. Thank you.
Bye, pal.
Quick and breezy, folks. That is my interview with Max Winkler. Thank God. What a great dude to talk to, and I just felt like, in a weird way, meeting him, that interview made my life somewhat better, and that's all you're looking for, right? And it's great. By the way, I want to make a recommendation before I let you all go. Well, one thing, first of all, do you like these shorter episodes? I'd love to hear some feedback. Do you like them shorter, or you like them longer? Because I could do one interview 30-minute episodes all the time if that's what you people want. I don't know. This is the first time I've done one this short probably ever. I'm trying to get a feel. Is it easier for the, you know, like you go to the gym and you can listen to 30 minutes of me and a celebrity and you're on the treadmill, you're on the bike? Or do you like them 2 hours? Do you like them an hour and a half? I don't know. I'm just curious. I feel like people are afraid to give you a response on that, but there's a, you can always be honest with me, people. Okay. By the way, my recommendation this week, I watched the pilot for Barry. I can't tell you if the rest of the show is going to be great, but Bruce Fretz, formerly a TV Guide, now a Closer magazine, good friend of mine, watched the entire first season. He said it was devastatingly fantastic. It just outstanding. So maybe it's great. I loved Barry. I loved it. I thought Bill Hader was great. I thought Henry Winkler steals every scene he's in. I like the setup. It's dark. It's twisted, but it's not. It's not too dark and twisted. It's weird. It really nails the tone it's going for. It really nails the comedy. I think it was a fantastic pilot. I'm hoping the rest of the episodes maybe even better or just as good, and you'll have a great show on your hands there at HBO. Barry is fantastic. Give it a look. Check it out over there on the HBO if you got on demand or what have you, because I really, really enjoyed Barry. It's complex, and it's Stephen Root, and it's, oh God, it's so good. Check out Barry. Tell me what you think, and let me know what you think of these shorter episodes, and thank you for tuning into The Matthew Aaron Show. Next week, hopefully, Jim O'Hare, if I could ever get a hold of him, and whoever Pat books for us. But thank you for tuning in, and go see Flower. It's in theaters right now.